Where were we? We are here. I'm going to pass the microphone here because we have in the studio the brilliant, soon to be mastered, soon to be in that graduation ceremony known as a master's ceremony at Bard College in the Department for Curatorial Studies or something like that. Curatorial something. Michelle Hyun. And she will be discussing and introducing a fascinating-looking piece by a man named Jakob Kierkegaard, which will... The name itself extends our philosophical motif for this evening. Jakob Kierkegaard, and... The piece involves a phenomenon, an acoustic phenomenon known as the Tortini tone. And when I read that, I've decided that it's the sound that a knish makes if you bake it at too high a temperature. It makes a tartini tone. But I'm sure it's much more complicated than that. So I'm going to pass the microphone to my dear colleague Galen. Onwards into the night. Thanks again, Gregory Whitehead. Until next time, mime my momu.
Thank you, Gregory. This is Galen Joseph Hunter. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ICRA, Catskill, Hudson, and we're here live in the studio in Hudson, and Gregory has provided us with such a wonderful and rich 4 hours of material. Thank you, Gregory. Thank you so, so much. So I'm going to bring Michelle's microphone up. Hello, Michelle.
Nice. Thank you so much for that lovely introduction.
So it's wonderful to have you here, and you're just about done your master's exhibition from the Center for Curatorial Studies at Bard is on view now. Mm-hmm. That's correct?
Yes, it actually opened on May 1st, so about 2 weeks ago, and it will close on May 22nd, in just about a week's time.
So people still have time to yes, head down and
yes.
see it.
Mm-hmm. It's actually cited in 3 different places, this being one of them, the radio broadcast. And the other 2 sites are the Rhinecliff Amtrak train station mm-hmm. over near Rhinebeck and in the concourse hall. And then the third site is at the CCS Bard Galleries and Hessel Museum on campus.
And how, so there is something currently in Rhinecliff?
Yes. So the project is called Dear Protella, mm-hmm. What Do You Hear? That's the title of the exhibition. It's actually a research experiment of sorts, and the experiment that myself and the 3 artists are collaborating on and proposing is to test the presentation of various sound artworks in these 3 different sites. Mm-hmm. The way we see it, the 3 different sites have different levels of publicity and privacy, different functions, different physical architectures, different ways in which people use and move through the spaces. And so, I'm trying to not go too far back in our intentions with this project, but quite often when you visit a sound art exhibition survey or encounter a sound art work, I think most of us have been pretty dissatisfied with the way sound art has been presented in exhibition spaces.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, the tendency, I mean, headphones are, a huge disappointment most of the time. And then the other tendency is that curators or institutions often cite or display or present these pieces in interstitial spaces. So the hallway is a favorite, the mm-hmm. bathroom is a favorite, the elevator, because you can trap them in there for about 30 seconds at least. But there is something very interesting about those sort of in-between spaces as well, which is why the train station was a really interesting site for us, because it's kind of a non-place. It's between destinations, and the concourse hall very specifically being between the platform and the waiting room or the parking lot, it's very much a passage. People mm-hmm. move through the space. They don't really wait there or linger. And so we were really curious to try the presentation of their works in also a site that one doesn't typically encounter art.
Right.
and in which, yeah, there are just different audiences for each of these sites, and different people use the spaces differently. With radio, you know, either you might be in the car, or you might be making dinner, or doing homework, or something mm-hmm. like that. And the art museum is, you know, sort of the very conventional site in which people go there with very yeah. specific intentions of, I'm going to have an aesthetic encounter.
It's interesting now that you're presenting works with WGXC, mm-hmm. and I think it's you've managed to capture a really broad spectrum of intentionality as the listener or viewer, because
it's really tough to get around that language, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I ran up against it all the time as I was writing, using words like reflect, display. It's very much all deeply, deeply ingrained in us, the visual vocabulary, mm-hmm. as opposed to sort of thinking orally instead, was a tough shift to make. So the way the project works actually is that each week, so the exhibition runs for 3 weeks, and each week these three artists, Jakob Kierkegaard, Chris Kubik, and Anne Walsh, and Hong Kai Wong, will present one work in each site.
Right.
So the first week, Jakob Kierkegaard was to present his labyrinthitis work, which you'll all hear in about a few minutes or so, in the train station, while Hong Kai Wong presented a sort of a speech act work in the galleries, and Chris Kubik and Anne Walsh, the broadcast was supposed to take place on Bard College Radio, but due to equipment failures, that didn't happen. And so there was the broadcast of Room Tone on WGXC.
Yeah, and last Saturday.
Yes, last Saturday at this very same time, mm-hmm. 8 to 9 p.m.
So tell us a little bit about the piece we're going to hear this evening.
Sure, sure. So for this week, yes, Jakob Kierkegaard's work is slated to broadcast over radio, and the work Labyrinthitis was actually commissioned by a medical association for a conference in Copenhagen in 2007. And what Kierkegaard did, Labyrinthitis is actually based on this phenomena, we'll just use Tartini Tone. There's a very long, complicated name otherwise. It's based on this phenomena in which we understand our ears normally to be passive receivers of sound and noise, where the truth of the matter is that they're actually active producers of sound. And this can happen spontaneously, but it can also happen with stimulus. And what Kierkegaard did, the Tartini Tone is a third tone in a sense that is produced by one's ears in response to hearing a certain ratio of tones at a certain ratio of frequencies. And what Kierkegaard did is record this phenomena taking place with very tiny sensitive microphones placed in his ears, and then use that recording of the third tone to build upon and build another trigger another third tone, and then another third tone, and basically this these recordings create a palette from which he builds a composition that also triggers that phenomena in the listener's ears. So Labyrinthitis is actually very much an interactive and very visceral sound art work that is half produced by Kierkegaard through this recording that one hears, but also produced by the listener in being triggered to produce these sounds.
And in presenting this work to listeners, do you or the artist have any set of instructions or guidance for the listener in how to listen or how to pay attention to that third component?
No, because it's I was a bit skeptical too, quite honestly, and it's something that one doesn't really need to. I guess you would have to sort of be attuned to one's body if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what's so interesting about this piece is sort of rather than listening out, one listens in mm-hmm. a sense. And even without knowing sort of this conceptual background of the piece, it's just a very sort of pleasurable experience, and sometimes not so pleasurable. In fact, the visceral effect of the work is what led to the cancellation of its presentation at the Amtrak Rhinecliff train station. The piece was presented for about 3 or more hours or so before many hostile and vitriolic complaints from passengers led eventually to the decision to cancel the work rather than reduce its effectivity by compromising the volume of its playback. but I'm actually quite grateful to all the people that complained and gave us this feedback, because it actually led to some very productive research and conversations with audiences that I don't think would normally feel like they have any recourse to things like actual air pollution or perhaps advertising that happens in spaces of transportation, Muzak in their shopping malls. But it was, I had a very sort of interesting conversation with the people that chose to complain and wanted to be heard and wanted to have this sort of dialogue about art in what they felt was a common space to them.
Well, we'll certainly forward any feedback we get.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah. And those of you listening, you may or may not already know that we do have feedback at WGXC.org for praises and concerns and criticisms and all kinds of thoughts and comments.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
So anything else we should share, or should we give people a listen? What do you think?
No, I think that's all. If anyone wants more information on the project itself, there was actually a workshop that took place and a discussion group as well. And our findings and documentation from these two events are all also up on the website, as well as a host of materials, interviews, recordings, audio documentation on the website, which is www.dearpratella.org. That's PRATELLA.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Michelle Hune.
Thanks, Galen.
And we'll have a listen.
Thanks.